Welcome. Thank you all for being here today. We are to give you a little bit more information about Perry, the gentleman in the video. Tim Holmes, Bible and Life pastor here. Perry was his youth pastor. And we're so thankful that he invested in Tim. And then Perry had a brainstem stroke, and very few people survived that type of thing. But Perry survived. And Pastor Jamie said last week that basically in his message, Lord, help us make this our finest hour, even when things aren't going well. Lord, teach us. And that's what Perry did. You know, and as a result of the hydration that Perry received by the power of the Holy Spirit, that which was told, you will never talk again, you will never be able to do these things, Perry didn't quit. Perry uses his computer. He's written two books. He ministers to thousands of people. I'm thankful to be the recipient of his ministry. And I've included his webpage information in the bulletin today if you want to read more about Perry Stevens. When I went with Tim and up to see his father, who's ill, Perry and Myra had told Tim, Perry's wife, that they wanted to serve me communion. That was a tender moment for me and a beautiful moment for me. He named his dog Bo because that's the only thing he can say is Bo. And Elizabeth commented as we were watching the video how calm that dog is. That dog was meant to be with Perry. He's now his therapy dog. He retrieves things for him. And they went to the hospital this past week. And it was the first time that Bo had been on an elevator. And he wasn't too keen about the elevator. But he did get on the elevator. But he's just such an instrument for Perry and Myra. And my wife and I, Tina, we have several animals. And so, five. And the lady that we bought our dogs from, we visited with her, and you ever met someone you just can feel pain in their life? I feel pain from some of your lives today. And as we began a dialogue, she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And she said, "Oh, well, church people are mean, and you're so nice." There's a little humor in that, but to me, that's very sad. That the Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a place that offers hope and peace and joy and love and ultimate restoration through a personal relationship with Christ. So we began to ask her some questions. I said, "Do you have a relationship with Jesus?" And she said, I mean, it's like somebody turned the music on. She just started dancing and moving around. And she said, "No." And Tina and I got on our knees, and she got on her knees, and she received Christ that night. Isn't that beautiful? It's so beautiful. And as a result of that, we spoke with her about Perry. And now she communicates with Perry on the computer, but she gave him a great gift in conjunction with Pastoral Care University and furthermore in conjunction with Hillview Heights Church and Jesus Christ that we're able to do those sort of things. So I want to give you a little bit more information about that particular story because it is worthy of repeating over and over again. Steve said a couple of weeks ago that in his message that do not lean into things that are not profitable, but rather be loving, compassionate, and humble. Those I've proposed to you today are hydration. Hydration. To be compassionate, to be loving, and to be humble. That's compassion. The world that we live in is in dire need of spiritual hydration. You know, some people think that Christianity is, or going to church, which there's two different things, being a Christian, just going to church, so we won't talk about being a Christian here, is almost like that commercial from several years ago of Calgon, take me away, I need a warm bath, and Jesus says, I want to take you with me. Not take me away. I want to take you with me. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to love you. And there are some people today that have been at the altar, and rather than a warm bath, it's almost been like a cold shower that quickens the soul and opens the eyes so that you may see the things that God desires for you to see through a personal relationship with Him. How many of you have ever been thirsty? I mean thirsty. I don't mean like, I think I'm just going to have a little drink of water. Not that kind of thirsty. I mean so thirsty that the tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. That, yeah, thank you, I have too. If you've been mowing the lawn or if you've been running, some type of physical activity that just absolutely parches your mouth. You know, our Creator, our Maker, our ruler of the universe, equipped us with several low fluid indicators in our bodies. And those low fluid indicators are dry mouth, weak knees, achy head, thick tongue. And if I can call your attention to John, the larger print version will be on the screen here in a moment. But John 4, beginning with verse 11. The woman at the well. I propose to you today that the woman that came to the well was spiritually dehydrated. She was dry. Her soul was dry for thirst. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Some of you today have so many things so deeply buried inside of you, you think that the Lord's not large enough to forgive you or take those from you. Well, let me tell you, He's more powerful than anything you've stored inside of you. He is more powerful than the depth of that well, and He's more powerful than the depth of your soul. Where can you get this living water, she asked. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus is the one who came for you and for I and offers a living water that never runs dry. The well doesn't run dry. It doesn't become tainted or polluted. There was a clear stream that I read about in Africa, and it was just pure water, and people came from all areas there to get water from this spring. Then all of a sudden, people started getting sick from the water. And they could not figure out what it was, because for years and years and years and years, did I say years and years, people had gone there to draw water. So they began to assess the situation, and they brought in some people to go into the water and see what they could discover. And they discovered this. They discovered that a mother pig and her piglets had drowned and were stuck there and had tainted the water. Many of us have that tainting inside of us because of sin. And it's only through the cross and the resurrection that we can be purified, liquefied, and restored. Some of us are drinking of things that are equally as deadly as that tainted water. The most dangerous thing you can drink of is yourself. When it's all about me. You know, the lady came to the well, and I would propose to you today that there were many people in her life who had done nothing but take from her. Take, 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 take. But she met Jesus, who wanted to give to her, who wanted to lift her up and to love her. This was one of the first times in her whole life that she had met someone who wanted to give rather than take. Instead of treating her like an object, she was treated like a child of God, which is what she is and what you are and what I am. And a major component of today's message is, some of you are thirsty and you don't realize it. And I'm talking about a spiritual thirst. A spiritual thirst. I want you to experience living water, which leads to life everlasting, strength for today, hope for tomorrow. And we try to deal with the barrenness of our souls and our lives by filling them with all manner of things. So I'm just going to get really confessional with you for a moment. There was a time in my life that all I thought about was Coca-Cola memorabilia. I mean, wherever I went, I was scanning the horizon for it. You know, and it's called the real thing. You know, that's one of their slogans, the real thing. And you know, it really doesn't quench your thirst either. It's nice and cold, especially Diet Coke. Now, I'm a big advocate of Diet Coke. See, Elizabeth is too. And my wife's starting to drink Diet Coke as well. She likes it as well. But it doesn't really quench your thirst like water will. But nothing's going to quench your spiritual thirst like Jesus will. So last night I was going to Columbia to preach at a church, and it was up and down and around and up and down, and I say up and down. It went around several areas, and there were several barns. There was an old general store. And I just thank the Lord that I wasn't searching for Coca-Cola memorabilia, because I'm searching for Him and I'm serving Him, and He's allowing me to do that. Because He is the real thing. Coca-Cola is not the real thing. Jesus Christ is the real thing. So when Tina and I were getting married, this gentleman came over, he and his wife, and they were looking at some things that I decided I was going to part with. Because we had more than one room of this sort of stuff. And so he looked at me and he said, is your future wife making you get rid of all this stuff? Because he was trying to warn me, I guess, that maybe his wife, I don't know. And I said, no, she hasn't. No, she's, you know, we just have too much of it. We were going to keep the pieces that we like, and we're going to sell the rest of it. So he bought some of it, and I mean, I helped him carry it to the car, and I said, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming. Whereas years ago, I'd have been going, oh, I can't believe I've sold that. But you know, it lost a lot of its meaning. Because when my life came into perspective and I began to hear what the Lord desired from me, that which I had placed before Him took place behind Him. So I want to ask you today, what are you placing before Him that needs to be put behind Him, so He can lead you to the path that only He can take you down? Now, I'm not anti-collecting things, so don't be all about me about that, because I still have some things, obviously. You've been to my house or our house, you'd see that. But I use that as an example, because we substitute Christ in our lives for various things. And until you stop doing that, you will never, your thirst will never be quenched. Never. You know, when we become physically dehydrated, you begin to see things that aren't there. People be out in the desert and they'll say, oh, I saw the phoenix and the rising. No, you didn't. You were dehydrated. And the same thing is with when you're spiritually dehydrated, you will begin to believe things that aren't true, like there's no God, that you can't be forgiven. There's a very interesting parallel between the two, between the physical and the spiritual. There's a spiritual hydration afforded to all of us as we repent and ask Christ into our lives. Jeremiah 2:13 reads as follows. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Broken cisterns come in various ways. Anger is a broken cistern. Unforgiveness is a broken cistern. Anything you place before God be a broken cistern. Too much hardness of the heart. You know, a deep, 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 dry soul. Dry. That only Christ can lubricate. You know, Pastor Steve and the rest of us, many times throughout the year, we're called to the emergency room for one thing or another, be accidents and various things. But a few years ago, I met a gentleman, and this is the first time I'd ever met him. And his mother was sitting at his bedside and just sobbing. And he had tried to quench his thirst through elements of the world that came in a plastic bottle and came in a glass bottle. And he'd taken too much of it. You see, it just wasn't enough. He had to take more and more because the thirst was still there. And it was interesting to me that as he laid there in that bed, black stuff was coming out of his mouth. You know what that was? Charcoal. Charcoal. They put charcoal in people's mouths so it'll absorb that which they've ingested that they've done too much of it. How dry is charcoal? It's mighty dry. And that was such a metaphor to me that what he had done and what they had used to even take it out represented the barrenness and the dryness of his soul. But I'm thankful to stand before you today and share this with you. It was several weeks ago. He was baptized over here. And he's been hydrated because he has shed all those things and has received Christ. Amen. That's worthy of some applause. And by the way, the baptistry doesn't have charcoal in it. It has water in it. And the transformation he's undergoing is unbelievable. But what people are in constant pursuit of, according to when they're at their life's end and people be at the hospital, and you never hear somebody say, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I wish I had done this, or I wish I'd done that. There are 11 words that people long to hear, and they are as follows. I'll miss you. Thank you. I forgive you. And I love you. But if they could just hear three words, they would long to hear what? I love you. And people are in pursuit of hydration their whole earthly lives by people just to authentically love them. And Jesus is the one who will authentically love you. He'll pour into you. He will, He will. What's He saying to you today? What's He longing for you to hear from Him today? I can promise you that He's not telling you, I will dehydrate you. He won't say it. He'll hydrate you. You know, anyone that's ever been in the baptistry, I've never had to go to the hospital and visit them because they've gotten pneumonia from baptism or they've caught a severe head cold from baptism. You know, sometimes I was telling Liz a while ago, it's just beautiful when people come out of the water, they're smiling. Why do you suppose that's true? We've never had anybody come out and go, that's the worst thing I've ever done. I wish I'd never done that. We've never had anybody here at the altar go, oh, I wish I'd never been forgiven my sin. I felt so much better when I was full of sin. They'll always say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and in hydrating others, as we become instruments of Him, we in turn are hydrated. When Perry and Myra served communion, they really wanted to do that because of Bo. And what, Bo. And, but it's not about Bo. It's about Jesus giving you ideas about Bo and being obedient to what Jesus is asking you to do. That's what it boils down to, my friends. Luke 16:19. Pastor Steve and Jamie and I heard this gentleman preach, and I guess it was January, February, and he read this passage. Now I'm going to share it with you. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. So according to the world standards, he probably had it made. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. You know what we're guilty of too? We're guilty of allowing the familiarity of a passage like that to lose its meaning. That passage doesn't say that the rich man, or that Lazarus was on a merry-go-round and the rich man was on a teeter-totter, and that the rich man longed to be on the merry-go-round, so the teeter-totter. That's not what it's saying. And I would propose to you today that if you really read the deep, abiding meaning of that passage, in someone, as it says, that they're in agony. Have you ever heard someone in agony? Dr. Charles, you ever heard anybody in agony? Absolutely. You heard me in agony one night with a kidney stone. Oh my, I pray y'all never have one of those. Oh, it's awful. But as you read this, it's better read and said like this, I would think. Father Abraham, please, please send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and put it on my tongue, because I'm in agony. Some of you today are dealing with your own type of agony. I don't know what it is. But it pales in comparison to what eternal agony will be like. And if you don't repent, and if you don't seek the way of the Lord, the shrieking, shrilling voice of the rich man could in turn be your own voice. You know, whenever I came to Hillview 10 years ago, I was dry. I was so dry. But as I began to hear the Word of God be spoken through Pastor Steve, I'd never heard anybody like him in my life. So thankful for him. And as I began to hear worship, and there's a song entitled Welcome Holy Spirit, that which was dry in me began to rise. And as I began to stand, as I began to follow Jesus and to be forgiven, I see things so differently now. And I said, Jesus. And He heard me. And if you'll say, Jesus, He'll hear you. There's really nothing extraordinary about me, but I do serve an extraordinary Savior named Jesus who will do extraordinary things out of ordinary people like myself. And you know, I'm so thankful to stand before you today and tell you that we as a staff hydrate each other versus dehydrating each other. And it wasn't always that way, was it? But it's so beautiful. And I thank God for my wife, who is such a source of hydration for me. And I thank God so much for His Son, Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't know these people. You know, our budget has gone through hydration. Praise God. Business administration team, hydration. Deacons, hydration. And we all long for spiritual hydration for all of you. There are people here that just tried to collect all they could, and their pockets were so full, they were bursting at the seams, almost like they had satchels walking around to catch the overflow. And once they received Christ as their Savior, they began to give. And give. Not just of their money, but of their time, their gifts, their talents, their energies. What is it that Jesus longs from you? What does He long from you? What is He asking of you? What is it? Follow me, He says. Follow me. How many of you are hydrating to your marriage or dehydrating to your marriage? Tina, you can't answer that. Anybody's hydrating or dehydrating to their marriage? Are you dehydrating or hydrating to your workplace? Are you dehydrating or hydrating to the marketplace? Are you dehydrating or hydrating with people you just meet? If you'll listen to Jesus, you'll be hydration to a dehydrated world. And if you don't listen to Him, you will be a major component of dehydration to a dehydrated world. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Do you long for the hydration that only He can give to you? There's an eternal horror called hell, and there's a glorious place called heaven. And that's where I'm going to be. Heaven. Absolutely. How many of y'all like watching television? Well, I've always really liked game shows. When I was a kid, I mean, I'd watch Concentration. You know, you remember that, watching that? Solving the Puzzle. And I never liked to watch Jeopardy because I couldn't answer any of the questions. But I liked watching The Price is Right. But there's this new game show on now called Deal or No Deal. Y'all seen it? According to the chuckles, I believe you have. You know, and everybody gets their case, and, you know, the model brings it down, and it's set right here next to them, and they talk to the banker, and they'll say, no deal. Close the lid. And they have to pick five more briefcases. Well, this is the deal. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, so you could be forgiven of your sins. And He doesn't offer a slick little briefcase that's silver. He offers this cross to you where He took death. And as Pastor Steve has said several times, what we worship in the world, they make blacktop out of the gold in heaven. So the silver little briefcase pales in comparison to the eternal life that Christ offers you. But there's going to come a time, if you don't embrace this and ask the Savior of the universe to come into your life, there's going to be a time that He'll say, no deal. Because if you leave here and you don't have that relationship with Him, this will be one of the worst things you could see. Him turn His back on you. And this is one of the most glorious things you could hear. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Rather than serving the world, you served me. And these are the people that are here now because of your obedience. Now that's a deal. So is your decision today deal or no deal? And I propose to you that the time is right today to make a decision to shed whatever it is and to give it to Christ and repent and ask Him into your life. The time's always right to do what's right. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, in heaven, I thank You so much for the hydration that my soul has received because of You. And I'm thankful that You've used the hands of many people here today to be instruments of hydration for me and others as well. And Lord, I just pray that my hands, Lord, would continue to be instruments of Your hydration. Those of you who don't believe, if you would just in your heart say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I've sinned, and I ask that You forgive me of those sins, and I'm asking that You enter in my life. Maybe there's people here today that need to make a decision for baptism. And I pray that this altar today, like every Sunday, will continue to be a place of hydration to the dry, spirited souls who are separated from You. Lord, I thank You for this blessing I've had today to speak about You. In Your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If You would come forth and experience hydration.